Shalom. Shalom, shalom. Want to give all praises to Yahweh, the only God, the true God, the God of Israel, and His begotten Son, who people call Jesus Christ, Yahawasha. Man, oh man, I wanted to talk about this today. I wanted to talk about Deuteronomy 23 and 7 and 8, or actually just 7 personally. I want to talk about 7, you know. I want to talk about 7. And the reason why that I want to talk about this real quick is, you know, a lot of people go here and which is the most craziest thing. And I'm going to talk about, you know, both of them. But a lot of people talk about Deuteronomy 23 and 7 and they go here to claim that, you know, See, y'all Hebrew Israelites, y'all always say that y'all hate Esau, y'all do this, y'all do that, you know, da-da-da, right? And, you know, I got something to say about that. People that go here, when people go to Deuteronomy 23 and 7, they really don't understand what it's even talking about. Even if you go to Deuteronomy 23, the first verse, it tells you what the whole context is talking about, you know. And that's the problem with a lot of people that don't really understand what this whole verse or what this whole context is actually talking about. I'ma just be honest, the whole context is basically talking about the congregation, aka the temple. That's all it's talking about, you know. It's not talking about nothing else. It's only talking about, you know, the temple, about other nations going into the temple for sacrificing. And I'm gonna prove it. It's so easy, you know what I mean? This is the easiest verse to go to. You know, a lot of Hebrew Israelites that are actually Hebrew Christianites, you know what I mean, they always want to go to Deuteronomy 23 and 7 and prove their case that you cannot be mean to an Edomite. Because there's some people that believe that the Edomites are Arab, and there are people that believe that the Edomites are white. You know what I mean? Of course, I believe that the Edomites are white. So, you know. But anyway, there's a lot of people that believe that, you know, this verse proves that you cannot be mean to an Edomite. You can't be mean to an Egyptian. You know what I mean? And then I don't know what his name is. I think it's Kempt or whatever his name is. He goes to these camps and, you know, he tries to expose them, whatever. But he goes to these weak-ass camps, to be real with you, if we just want to be honest. But he said, if you got some percentage of Esau, of the Edom, in your blood, how can you remove that blood from your bloodline, right? Like, how can you destroy some of that, right? Honestly, you can't, you know, and that's just a fact. Honestly, you can't. But we all know that you come from your father or your dad, right? You come from your dad, and what he is fully, that's what you are. You know what I mean? It's not, there's no, like I said before, there's no such thing as mix. You feel me? There's no such thing as mix, you know? So, if your dad is, you know, what the DNA says or whatever, you know, that he's black, he comes from Africa, you're mostly likely an Israelite or you're probably a Egyptian. Who knows? You know what I mean? Now, of course, if your dad is like, you know, if your dad is, let's say, he's black, so-called black, you know what I mean? He's so-called black and native and probably like 2% white. You feel me? You're still an Israelite. You know what I mean? You're still an Israelite. Not because of that 2%. And you're not mixed just because of that 2% white. But you are a fully Israelite because you got more percentage than that white percentage, that Caucasian percentage. You know what I mean? So that's kind of, I'm not going to say that's really not a bad argument. Now, for some people, it might be a bad argument. But for me, I mean, that's a pretty good argument, I guess. But personally, you just can't go, but you just can't be like, okay, so since you claim yourself to be an Israelite, how can you deny or how can you take out some of that devil, demon, bloodline that you have? You feel me? So it's impossible. You know what I mean? So, but that doesn't claim or prove that you're an Edomite. You know what I mean? Just because you have a tiny bit of blood in there. You know what I mean? Other thing that I want to talk about before I get into this, the scriptures, is he talked about something else. He talked about the brother. You can't hate your brother, you know? And it's Esau, your brother. You know what I mean? Now, listen, Jacob and Esau, they are brothers. You feel me? Now, when. Which is crazy because, which is so crazy because he said that Israelites should not hate the Edomites, which are white people, right? We shouldn't hate them because they're our brother. So what about all of the times what they did to us, to Israelites, even back then before slavery, even back then when they even, you know what I mean, did anything? You know what I mean? During the Roman time, during the Grecian time, during the time when Jacob was born, man. You know what I mean? During the time when Jacob was born, the Israelites and the Edomites always fought each other, always. So for him to say, or I forgot what his name is. His name is Kempt or whatever. He's a brother. You know what I mean? And he goes around, camps and tries to expose them and like stuff like that. Majority he goes to these weak ass camps. I'm gonna just be honest. But to say that Israelites need to be nice to Esau or to Edomites because they're our brother, what about them? What about what they do? They're not being nice to us. They're not doing nothing at all. You feel me? There's always a time to love and there's always a time to hate. You know what I mean? A equal balance is a equal balance is the Most High's delight. But a false balance is a abomination. You know what I mean? So we can't just be like, okay, we're gonna be nice to them because they're our brother, but they're gonna freaking, but they're gonna hang us, shoot us, do all of this stuff, and then we're supposed to just turn the other cheek and be nice to them? You know what I mean? So you got that kind of twisted. I'm gonna just be honest. You know what I mean? But a lot of people go to this verse to prove and to claim that, we should be nice to the Edomites because in the Torah, because everybody knows that Hebrew Israelites love to go to Torah because you should. I feel like everybody should, personally. Everybody should go to the Torah. Everybody should go to the law. But no one wants to go to the law because everybody think that the law is destroyed, which is crazy. But they know that we go to the law 24/7. So they see this verse and they be like, oh, it says, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. You know what I mean? So that means you guys need to be nice to us. Blah blah. You guys don't need to be cussing us out. Saying these mean things to us, da da da. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of them think, and that's what a lot of them will do. And I'm about to clear this up because, like I said, a lot of Christians and Hebrew Israelites that are Christianites want to go to this verse, which is berserk. All right, let's get started. Okay, this is Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Now, let's stop right there. A lot of people go to this specific sentence, and they just want to be like, you see, you see, you shouldn't be mean. You should not be mean to the Edomite. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that because he is thy brother. You feel me? You shouldn't do that because he is thy brother. You should always be nice to the Edomites because he is thy brother. Okay, let's continue. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian. I'm gonna also get into the Egyptians as well. Don't worry about that. Because thou wast, because thou wast a stranger in his land. Then they just want to be like, you see, you shouldn't abhor an Edomite nor an Egyptian. You guys are a false doctrine. You guys are heresy. You guys are this. You guys are that. Your whole doctrine is corrupt. Everything like those, right? They always want to stop at verse 8, but they never want to continue reading to verse 8. Or they want to stop at verse 7, but not continue to verse 8. And let's read verse 8. This clears up everything. I'm going to just be honest. Honestly, verse 1 kind of clears up what this whole context is actually talking about. But people want to stop at verse 7 just to prove a point and take it out of context. You know what I mean? Because they feel like every Hebrew Israelite takes every verse out of context. But everybody does that. Even Christians. Everybody takes every scripture out of context. It is berserk. Anyway, let's go to verse 8. The children that are begotten to them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in the third generation. Now, what is a congregation? The congregation is basically the temple. That is all it is. It is like a temple. It is church, aka church, right? In today's, you know, English mindset. You know what I mean? So, that's all it is. Right? That's all it is. Now, when it says congregation of the Lord in their third generation, basically what it's talking about is the first generation, right? Which is, you know, mom and dad, they have kids, you know, and then their kids have kids. You feel me? That's the third generation. The third generation can enter into the congregation. You feel me? That's all it's saying. You know what I mean? It's not saying you need to be nice to the Edomites because they're your brother and you need to be nice to them all the time. It's not saying that. It's not saying you need to be nice to an Egyptian because even though that you were in the land, even though that you guys were captives in Egypt and then you guys were treated like dog shit, even though that the Edomites treated you like dog shit, you don't need to be mean to them. And why? Because one is your brother, and then the other, you dwell in their land. So it's not talking about, oh, you need to be nice to the Edomites because they are your brother. Or you need to be nice to the Egyptians because you were in their land as a stranger. You feel me? It's not talking about that. It's talking about don't be mean to an Egyptian nor a Edomite of them sacrificing. Because if you read the whole context, that's all it's talking about. It's just talking about the Edomites and the Egyptians dwelling in the land or dwelling in the temple to sacrifice. Just don't be mean to them when they sacrifice. That is all they're talking about. Because they have to sacrifice somehow. You know what I mean? And then you can only sacrifice in a temple. So where are they going to sacrifice? In our temple. Because it's going to happen in the end time prophecy. During the rebuild of the third temple. You feel me? So I don't know what to say, but this ain't talking about you need to be nice to them 24/7 because they're your brother, and then the other is the other you dwelled in their land, now you're a stranger. That's not what it's talking about. And then let's get to the Edomites. This is going to be an easy cut. This is going to be easy. All right, this is going to be super easy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 25 and 19. This is so easy. Okay. Therefore, it shall be, when the Lord thy God have given thee rest from all thine enemies. Let me repeat this. From all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God have given thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek. From under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Now, what is Amalek? What is Amalek? If anybody knows what Amalek is, you know what I mean? Say it right now. I'm going to give you probably 5 seconds. You got it? All right. Amalek is basically a descendant of Esau. Edom. Amalek is the grandson of Esau. So if Amalek is a grandson of Esau, you already know he's a descendant of Esau. He's an Edomite. The Lord that God just said, blot out the remembrance of Amalek. Blot out the remembrance of who? Of Amalek, which is a grandson of Esau, which is an Edomite. So this don't make no sense now, right? This doesn't make any type of sense how 2 chapters before it says that we need to be nice to the Edomites. Right? Two chapters before it says that we need to be nice to the Edomites. But 2 chapters after it says that we have to destroy the Edomites or destroy the descendants of Amalek. And this is not the only scripture and the only time where it says this, man. Everybody should know where I'm going by now. This is just, and I'm about to tell you why, that when people go to Deuteronomy 23:7 and they say you need to be nice to Edom, they are stupid as hell. I'm going to just keep it honest with you. You can't go to that one scripture and cherry pick the hell out of that scripture and stand by that scripture. And there's so many scriptures other than that that says that Esau will get the judgment, the vengeance, and be utterly destroyed. You can't win. You can't. This is Obadiah chapter 1 verse 8. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? Verse 9. And they might and thy mighty men, O Tamin. And Tamin is actually I forgot. I think Tamin is the son of I forgot his name, Olypius or something like that, Olypius, something like that. But he's an Edomite as well. I think he was he's the son of Esau. I'm not sure, but Tamin, he's an Edomite, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. It says to be nice to him. Cut off by slaughter. It says that we can't be mean to them because they're our brother. To be cut off by slaughter. It says, for God so loved the world, though, from John 3:16, may be cut off by slaughter. And do you know what's crazy? This hasn't even happened yet. This still hasn't even came to pass yet. That's the crazy part. And people want to go by Deuteronomy 23:7 so bad and stick to it. But Obadiah has not even happened yet. You can't find no source. You can't find no scientific fact about it. Nothing. I bet you even scholars will probably say that this hasn't happened yet. I bet you. This is simple. This is the easiest cut, and this is the most simplest thing ever. Joel chapter 3. I'm going to just end it with the coffin with both of them. Joel chapter 3, verse. Let's go to Joel chapter 3, verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with the waters, and a fountain, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Basically, this is talking about. Basically, this is talking about our land, our place, right? Now this is just the ending point right here. It's so easy. Verse 19, Egypt shall be a desolation. I thought that it said be nice to the Egyptians. I thought that it said to be nice to the Egyptians because we dwelled in their land as strangers. But it says Egypt shall be a desolation. Don't worry, man. We're going to get to other translations. Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. And Edom shall be a desolate. Damn. You know what's funny? They put two of the nations. They put two nations that were talked about in Deuteronomy 23 and 7. And they're talking about them. And they're saying that Edom and the Egyptians are going to be desolation. That's crazy. Let's just read the whole thing. And Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah. So everything that these people have done to God's chosen children, Judah, what's going to happen to them? Because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Verse 20, but Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. Damn, this is a cut. This is a cut on Deuteronomy 23 and 7. It is not talking about we should love them, we should be friends with them, we should do this, nor we should do that. Joel 23 and 19 and 20 is basically telling you that both nations will face the fear. And actually, let's look at the other translations real quick. Let's just look at the other translations. Because I don't think you guys got it 100%. What should I read? Let's just look at all of them. Let's look at the NIV. But Egypt will be desolate. Edom a desert waste. Damn. Because of the violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Because you already know, when that power gets over your head, you start doing some stupid stuff. Let's read the NLT. But Egypt will become a wasteland, and Egypt will become a wilderness, because they attacked the people of Judah and killed innocent people in their land. Woo! How can y'all even go to this verse and stand behind Deuteronomy 23 and 7 so hard to the point where Y'all motherfuckers are so comfortable behind it. I would be trying to get away from that verse when it talks about the other nations. I'm being completely honest with you. And then, which is funny, the people that always go to this verse and stand behind this verse don't read the Old Testament, nor know anything about the New Testament when it talks about the other nation. There are many scriptures and books in the Old Testament that speaks about what? That speaks about the other nations getting their vengeance from the Most High. It's simple, man. It's simple. You can't. This is why I tell every Christian. This is why I tell every Christian that I'm getting into a argument with, a debate with, even my friends that are also Christians. I tell them all the time, listen, you cannot just be stuck on the New Testament and the New Testament only. Your ass got to read the New and the Old and the Apocrypha. I don't care if you think the Apocrypha is history and only history, or is including in the Bible and some is also history. That Apocrypha been in the Bible. It been in the Bible before it even got taken out by stupid ass Caucasian, you know, Mike Martin Luther, if we want to be honest. And then, which is crazy, the Apocrypha even adds up to the Bible in some categories. Which is funny is, y'all might get behind Martin Luther for taking out the Apocrypha because some believe that the Apocrypha is not God's word nor expiring. Expiring to other people to read or to do anything with, which is funny because Martin Luther even wanted Hebrews and Jude and Revelation to get out of the Bible. I do believe he also wanted 2 Peter to get out as well. He wanted all of these new, he wanted 4 New Testament books to come out, but y'all be like, no, you know what I mean? Y'all said, no, we don't want that to happen, right? We don't want that to happen. We want these books to say, we want these books to say, but when the Apocrypha comes out, oh man, y'all want those books to go. But Martin Luther also wanted these books to go too, and the New Testament, but y'all said no. That's crazy. But other than that, that's all I wanted to talk to you guys about, man. You know, to end this whole Deuteronomy 23:7, probably the most weakest verse that you can go to if you don't know what it actually means. You know what I mean? So, and if you try and use this verse to save everybody, I promise you, you're going to, people are listen. Hebrew Israelites are going to laugh at y'all. I'm going to just be honest. I should make a podcast about that too. I should make a podcast of every verse that Christians go to that Hebrew Israelites will laugh at you for. I should go. I should go and do that. I'm going to just be honest. But anyway, I want to give all praises and glory to Yahweh and his begotten son, Yahweh Shai. Keep the law, statutes, and commandments. And I'll see y'all next time. Shalom.